Hi, everyone. Welcome into an off-season edition of Scrambled Eggs. Just kind of shaking off the rust here on Crack Sidewalks. Joe McCann and Phil Bush here with you once again on your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Phil, do you remember how to do this thing?
No, I put in a series of stretches before doing this, but it's I'm going to clang some off the rim, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I really thought about just scripting the whole thing and just reading from a script the entire time. It's been a while since we've done one of these podcasts, but we felt like we were overdue for one because we've gone through a little bit of the off season. There really wasn't much going on shortly after Steve Wojciechowski was named the new head coach at Marquette University. We really haven't done one since he was named the coach. So I think it was time to, maybe long past due, to go through some of the things that's been going on in Marquette basketball over the spring and the summer, and maybe look ahead to the season coming up this fall. So, Phil, you ready to go through this?
Yeah, absolutely. And in our defense, we were going to do this before the 4th of July weekend. Then we got lazy, and then a whole bunch of news happened. So we should really just pretend like we were geniuses and knew some recruits.
Yeah, exactly.
We knew
there was going to be just
right.
a swarm of breaking news. That's why we held off, and it
right.
wasn't because we wanted to go out and grill and drink or anything like
right.
that.
Right. Nothing at all like that.
Okay, but we'll go with, I guess, the most recent thing in Marquette news, and that is the Golden Eagles have released their 2014-2015 non-conference schedule. Just kind of run down through the thing a little bit here. In the past, they've been doing those closed scrimmages to warm up the season. Looks like they're going to do an exhibition this time around. They're going to play an exhibition game against Wisconsin Lutheran. Maybe a good idea with a brand-new team, brand-new coach, Phil, just to have a, I don't know, maybe a game that's a warm-up that everyone can attend and watch, I guess.
Well, in total, I agree that they're just kind of getting people eased in because there's a fair amount of new faces. But in total, if you look at the overall schedule, that's a schedule that somebody has thrown together knowing that the team has one eligible player taller than 6'7".
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so they really, really kind of hold off. They really like to hold off as many of the tough things as they can until Luke Fisher becomes eligible in mid-December. But there's still going to be some road bumps. I think it's going to be a very tough non-conference schedule considering the team Marquette's going to put out there. And it's not because I don't think Wojciechowski's a good coach. I think he's going to do a fine job. I just think with the roster he has, it's going to be tough to navigate through this thing. After a game against Tennessee Martin, they're going to go to Ohio State, which should be extremely challenging.
Yeah.
Well, and then they get Nebraska, Omaha at home, and New Jersey Institute of Technology after that, which should be two pretty relatively easy games before it really gets tough. But that first Ohio State game, I wouldn't imagine going much better than last year's Ohio State game.
Right. Well, and if you look at it, I guess part of it is, isn't New Jersey Institute of Technology, weren't they one of the worst Division I basketball teams, like, of all time? Like, they were...
They did have a really... I seem to recall they did have one of those epic losing streaks that seemed to...
Right.
Go on.
I mean, it was Grambling-like level of inability. I mean, I guess, though, the one question I have in the early schedule is, like, and not that I'm second-guessing any, you know, Mike Broeker or anything, but Wisconsin Lutheran as an exhibition, Division III, what does that really get us? I mean, it's not like they're going to challenge in any way. I guess it's really just to get the players used to the bright lights. I don't know what the value of playing that kind of gimme game.
I don't know. Sell a few tickets?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, because there's nothing about Wisconsin Lutheran and Tennessee Martin that says, okay, we're getting prepared to go play at Ohio State.
No, there's nothing. But I would rather them at least take the floor a little bit before going out there and getting blasted by Ohio State or whatever's going to happen in that game.
Right.
But, yeah, it is what it is. We're going to see how the team does. And, like, as we've said already, the team's going to be small. And I think expectations for, I think, most sensible fans is going to be relatively low, at least for the non-conference part of the season.
Well, because like we said, we don't have any height. But Ohio State doesn't – I'd have to – you know, again, I would have to stop being lazy and incompetent at my podcasting quote-unquote job. But I don't remember Ohio State returning a ton of talent this year. Perennial flopper Aaron Kraft is gone, so –
well, there's that then.
Right, right.
At least they're a little more likable this year.
Right, it'll be a little less like European soccer and a little more like actual basketball.
Exactly. Oh, come on, everyone loved Aaron Kraft. And by everyone, I mean no one.
I think his mother was even upset with him.
So at least we don't have... But they'll still be a talented team. I mean, Thad Mott is one of the nation's top recruiters, actually. And he did bring in a pretty good class. full of top 50 talent. D'Angelo Russell and Kata Bates Diop are going to be two guys who are going to give Marquette a lot of trouble. Those are the two of the incoming guys that he's got coming in for next year. But I think that'll be a tough game regardless. But then the schedule really gets tough, and this is going to be a 5-game stretch that may beat this team down a little bit. I just hope the team doesn't get too down on themselves, because they know they'll get Luke Fisher back shortly after this. But the Orlando Classic, with the opponents have yet to be determined. And then after that is going to be Wisconsin and Arizona State, both at home. That's the good side. But,
right.
And then so that'll be the tough part. I think Marquette actually gets Luke Fisher back after the Arizona State game. And then on the 22nd is when they will take on North Dakota, and then Morgan State will round out the non-conference.
I actually think they get Luke Fisher back after the Wisconsin game, because it's whenever the week of finals. So whenever finals are over, that ends the first semester. So then he's eligible immediately after the quote-unquote end of the first semester, which I think is the week following the Wisconsin game.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay. That December 16th is a Tuesday, so I'm not sure.
Right.
But Luke Fisher does get back around that time, so it would be nice to get him back for the Arizona State game. You just change the dynamic of the team a little bit by actually having a big man.
Well, and that's kind of way the schedule sets up. I mean, Arizona. So you have Arizona State, North Dakota, and then Morgan State. You know, two of the three are not gimmies. With this team, again, not belittling the team, but with all the question marks that we'll get to, you'd never take any opponent for granted, but two of those three at the end are the teams you want to be playing to kind of work in, a new strategy, new set of players, a new rotation, to see what ends up happening.
Yeah, they have 10 days between the Wisconsin and Arizona State game. So, I mean, if Fisher's eligible, that's plenty of time to, like you said, work him in. Not that they wouldn't be working him anyway, because he's going to be at practice every day.
Right.
But just to get used to him actually being a starter and prepare for a game with him as the starter at center.
Right, because that's a given, right, that he's the starting center. There's no question.
He would have to be absolutely awful in practice to not be the center, in my opinion.
Right.
Like, he would have to be he would have to be so bad that you wouldn't want him on the team, and I don't think that's going to be the case at all.
Yeah.
So I think I hate to say this, but I think he's going to have to work to not be the starter.
Actively try?
Yeah, like actively try to not be the starter, just by default. And he was a top 100 prospect, so he has talent.
Right.
And I'm sure he's been in the weight room, the team, and when he came on, Jerry Wainwright said, of course, we've got to put some meat on those bones, and I'm sure that's what the strength and conditioning team has been doing. And yeah, it would be a huge disappointment if he did not become the starter and play a bunch of minutes at the five
right.
for Marquette this year. And that hopefully that'll be a difference, and that will be maybe lead to some excitement for the Big East play, which we can get into that later when that schedule comes out down the road. But I think the second half will be so much better than the first. I hate to put it all on Luke Fisher, but I think a lot of it is going to be him coming onto the roster next year that will add some excitement and some optimism that maybe Marquette could get to the tournament. I think that's going to be a long shot for them to make the tournament. I think it's going to be tough for him, but at least his addition in the second semester will add a little bit of optimism.
Right. Well, and I mean, I guess before we get into analyzing the roster and whatnot, I part of me wants to say, okay, what are the expectations that we should have for this season? I mean, if they don't make the tournament, is that a, not that we can project that at this point, but is that a disappointment?
I really don't know. I guess I'd like to watch the team for a few months before I decide. But, my gut feeling is, you always want to make the minimum expectation to make the tournament, no matter what the roster looks like. I think that's the kind of, I don't think you want to go into a season as a Marquette fan saying, I just hope we make the NIT. But that would be an improvement from last
right.
year, where we didn't make any postseason tournament.
Exactly. That's the thing is, so we had a really down year last year, which was very disappointing given the talent coming back, whole new coaching staff, a fairly extensive roster makeover, if you will. Plus, we don't have a full roster. So what do you, we don't know. We've never seen Wojciechowski coach his own team and his own players. So we don't know what to expect,
Right. And this is, I guess, maybe a real Debbie Downer way of looking at it. But here is one way of honestly looking at the team is you take last year's team, which was disappointing, let's be honest, that didn't even make any postseason play. You lose Devontae Gardner, which don't they're going to miss him so badly next year. You lose him and Otoole, so you have no inside presence, and Jamil Wilson, the team's most athletic player. And, you know, you lose Jake Thomas, who I think his production will roughly be replaced by Matt Carlino. I think Carlino may be a little more athletic version of Jake Thomas. But if you look at the shooting percentages, they're actually pretty similar. So basically you're taking the same team of last year minus any inside presence, at least for the first semester. And what that tells me, I think expecting to make the tournament may be asking too much.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion.
I agree.
I would just like to see. I would like to see them at least have some kind of postseason play, make the NIT. But I would like to. I'd like to win one game in March. I'm not talking about tournament. I'm talking like a regular season game in March. Marquette went 0 for March last year.
Yeah, that was part of the tremendous disappointment, especially when we were talking about how what a shot. You know, we were grasping for straws. Well, if we can win two out of the three, we might have a shot. And then we, you know, kind of crap the bed, if you will. But, I don't know what – it's kind of one of these things where it's a transitional year, and as much as I want them to win every game, I think the realist in me says, hey, this game – or this year is literally and anything could go, anything could happen. And, you know, if they make the tournament, that's, like, over and above what I would expect. I just want them to be competitive is kind of my thinking. And then we'll give Wojciechowski another year recruiting and another year with the players to see what comes up.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I really want to get into in this podcast is what Wojciechowski has done to build for the future. Because I really don't think he should be judged on his first season based on what he has inherited. I know we've kind of started this podcast off with a big downer tone to it, like, oh, we're just going to get smoked in this first season. But I really want to kind of focus on, actually, he hasn't coached a game yet, but the nice job that Wojciechowski has done in his first couple months on the job as Marquette's head coach and the way he has kind of reshaped the roster. And, the most important thing he did was he kept all of last year's players. Nobody transferred.
Correct. And there was...
At least no one has transferred as the moment we have recorded this podcast.
We do have a tendency.
We could hit send on this thing and half the team could transfer. But as we record this, no one has transferred from Marquette from last year, which I think is important because, you know, especially some of the younger guys who we're really excited about in Dwayne Wilson and Deontay Burton, and I think we all want to see a little bit more of John Dawson, and definitely nobody wanted Luke Fisher to go anywhere because he is the only big back. So I think the first thing he did that was important was to keep everyone together.
Well, and I think one of the big ones for me, and we'll see, because, you know, I have no idea why he didn't play last year, but Juwan Johnson, you know, was highly recruited, highly regarded, seems to have a lot of talent, but didn't get any playing time last year, and if you believe blogs and the internets and Twitters,
all factual places
with no rumor or innuendo whatsoever, it was indicated that he was all but gone. Had the previous head coach, who shall not be named momentarily, had he stayed around? So clearly Wojciechowski did a heck of a job to kind of turn around Juwan Johnson's opinion, and maybe that's one of the diamonds in the rough, if you will, is there was talent there that was just not utilized.
Yeah, and I don't even think it was even rumor innuendo. I mean, didn't Juwan Johnson so much as say, yeah, I wasn't sure about my future here?
I know Steve Taylor did as well.
Steve Taylor absolutely said
that. Yeah, Steve Taylor tweeted about it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, other guys like Todd Mayo and Devontae Gardner kind of hinted that, yeah, it was time for a change. And I think it definitely changed the opinion on some guys who maybe were weighing their options under Williams. And now under Wojciechowski, they've kind of got kind of a new excitement. And I think that's one thing that maybe we can't discount with next year's team is the energy that comes with a new coach.
Right.
Maybe you can think of this out there on some of your favorite teams that you cheer for, but maybe there have been instances where there was a coach that a team didn't like, or that, you know, a coach that just beat down all the players, and once that coach was gone, there was the what you call the new coach energy. Whether the new coach was a good coach or not, just the players playing looser and happier and looking forward to going to each game made a difference. Right. And, like, I just an example off the top of my head, because, you know, I'm from Kansas City and I'm a Chiefs fan. A few years ago, Todd Haley was the coach, and he was probably one of the most disliked guys in all of the NFL. And the Chiefs fired him, and so Romeo Crennel took over the team, who Romeo Crennel is not a great coach. Right. But the next week, the Chiefs actually went out, and I think they beat the Packers,
yeah,
actually.
Why are we talking about this?
But that's just an example of right. It wasn't necessarily a better coach. It was just a new coach
right.
energy.
And, well, you ruined the – that was the game that ruined the Packers going undefeated in the regular season.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, they were. I knew they were the best team in the NFL
right.
that year, or in the
that
regular
season
anyway.
Didn't stop them from losing in the cold against the Giants. But other than that
– we don't need to get into that. Well, but the
this
my,
is getting
my
really
point
depressing.
Is – I know. My greater point is, when you lose a coach that had kind of beaten the players down and bring in a guy who brings the energy up, you will notice guys playing
right.
better. And I think that maybe that's something that we can look forward to, you know, in the early games next year. It's just guys like Steve Taylor and Juwan Johnson and maybe John Dawson and maybe Todd Mayo, maybe everyone,
right.
really, just playing with a little more energy and just being happy to be on the team, and which maybe not – might not have been the case, especially towards the end of last
right.
year.
Well, and I talked to – I actually happened to accidentally run into – I was not stalking, I promise – run into a couple of the players at a local food establishment. And I, of course, because 97% of the clothes I have a MU logo on them, happened to be wearing Marquette and saw him come in and kind of struck up a conversation. And nothing of any significant consequence, but they were overall – seemed very excited and very enthusiastic about the new coaching staff and some of the things they were doing, and they felt there was going to be there was just kind of a real positive and real excitement around the program that they hadn't felt in a little while. So I think you're right. I think it's going to be, you know, whether they win or they lose, I think it's going to be a team that potentially we may enjoy watching. If nothing else, they will work their butts off, you know, and yeah. and I think that's going to be a good thing. It's not going to be some of the frustration we saw last year where it's like, what is going on? Why can't we just put this together?
Yeah. Yeah, since you brought up the coaching staff, I want to like break down what Wojcicki has done since our last podcast. He's put together an entire staff, which looks pretty promising. You know, he's brought in guys who, you know, the Milwaukee Pro-Am's going on. I think the Marquette coaches could put together a team that could, you know, I don't know if they would win that much, but I think how bad could they possibly be when you look at the resumes of some of the guys on the Marquette coaching staff? If they had a team of coaches playing in the Pro-Am, I think they would actually hold their own. You've got Chris Carrawell, who was the ACC Player of the Year. I know some of these guys are past their prime, like they're not in their 20s, but they're not in their 50s either. I mean, they're all relatively young guys as far as coaches. Chris Carrawell was the 2000 ACC Player of the Year. Brett Nelson was an All-American at Florida. He's the team's leading three-point shooter, the program's all-time leading three-point shooter. Justin Gainey was a three-year starter at NC State. Jake Pursuti, he was a walk-on at Syracuse, eventually earned his way to a scholarship. And, oh, by the way, a familiar name, Travis Diener is back at Marquette. How great is it that one of Marquette's all-time favorites, really, just an all-time fan favorite and just a great player. If you don't know the name Travis Diener, shame on you. But he, of course, was the point guard for the 2003 Final Four team. He was on his way to breaking Marquette's all-time scoring mark when he suffered a very unfortunate broken hand in his senior year. Another thing
need to mention tackling dummies.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. But Diener, an all-time great player, one of Marquette's all-time leading scorers. He's way up there in all-time assists and games played. And, of course, he has that Final Four banner. And I just think he's a presence on the coaching staff that I think has just generated more excitement in the Marquette fan base because he was so well-liked as a player. And I think everyone's excited to have him back as a coach.
Yeah, well, I think what's going to be interesting, one of the big complaints the last couple of years, and you know, it's more than just coaching that'll make a change, but a lot of the complaints the last couple of years has been what I would call a dearth of three-point shooting. And mm-hmm. with Travis Diener and certainly Brett Nelson, there seems to be a more of an emphasis perhaps on shooting and less on I don't want to say that players are going to be less athletic, but I think there's going to be more emphasis on kind of the basketball skills than actual, you know, just being tremendous athletes. You know, in fact, I think it was John Dawson tweeted out a practice card that Brett Nelson had put together with all sorts of 3-point shooting drills, and you know they basically had to spend an hour or two a day going through this shooting card.
I hope we see an improvement in 3-point shooting from some guys. We absolutely have to, because Marquette is going to be so small this year. They better be able to shoot the ball, because if this team can't shoot the ball, they're not going to get any points inside, so I don't know how they're going to score. By the way, I left out Mark Phelps when I was naming the coaches. Of course, he's one of Drake's all-time winningest coaches, and it's great to have a veteran coach on the staff as well. So I think Wojcicki put together a very complete staff, mostly really young coaches, and I think they'll create a lot of excitement. But as you were saying, Phil, I think I'm interested to see the results of what appears to be a greater emphasis on development and in improving fundamentals.
Right. Well, and it's going to be interesting because there's going to be a total overhaul in the program in general, because you know when we went from Crean to Buzz, one of the things we did have the benefit of was Todd Smith, the strength and conditioning coach, stuck around. And he's been well regarded as one of the top strength and conditioning coaches in the country, and I think that's been reflected in the team. Marquette always seems to have a little extra at the end of the games, so it'll be interesting to see with the new and quite honestly, I haven't been able to find who the new strength and conditioning coach is, but whoever that is, if they can continue that, that's great. Otherwise, you know, we'll have to see what comes, because players like Luke Fisher and some of the other folks are going to need to put on some weight to really, really perform, and so that's going to come from that side of things. But the staff, I think, will bring enthusiasm, bring knowledge, and I think it matters in recruiting. I think a lot of the recruits are gonna care that these coaches know what it is to play at a Division I level and know what it is to be a winner. I think that's going to make a difference as well.
Yeah, I think actually isn't Todd Smith still on staff?
I thought he left.
I don't think he's gone anywhere. I mean, for what it's worth, his Twitter account still has a Marquette Strength logo, and he's still tweeting from it and tweeting Marquette stuff from it. As recently as 3 days ago, he was tweeting the Marquette staff.
Maybe
lifting.
I'm thinking of something else. Well, clearly, if I ever prepared for this podcast, it would be better.
Yeah, Todd Smith is still there, to the best of my knowledge. So,
all right. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else then.
Okay, but you know, by the way, if the Marquette coaches do want to, you know, throw a team out there in the pro-am, they could also add Scott Merritt, who joined Carolyn Keeger's staff, and who was Carolyn was hired as the women's head coach, and Carolyn could go out there and play. She's the Marquette women's all-time assist leader. So I think that would actually not be a bad team if you threw them out there.
Well, I would like to point out that you and I are alumni and watched basketball games, so we're probably qualified to be on some sort of staff somewhere.
No, no. That would be a disaster for any team.
Well, that's true.
But it's good to have so many familiar faces back on campus on the men's and women's side, with Keeger and Merritt on the women's team, and you know Diener on the men's team. So I think the administration has done a nice job replacing Buzz Williams and Terry Mitchell and their staff. So I'm looking forward to seeing what these coaches can do with these teams. Speaking of on that topic of what the coaches have done with the teams, back to the men's side. As far as the team that Wojcicki is going to try out there this fall, we've touched on it a little bit, Phil. But the two new names that will at least be the two names that will be on the court this fall. Wojcicki was only able to keep one guy from the class that committed to Buzz, but I think he was an important one in Sandy Cohen, who's from Green Bay. So he's from Wisconsin, but we're able to keep the guy who's from in-state and keep him on the roster. And then he added a nice transfer in Matt Carlino, who I mentioned earlier, who he's going to be a point guard. I kind of compared him to Jake Thomas shooting-wise, but as far as skill set, he's much more of a point guard. So I'm curious how that will shape the roster with these two guys coming in. You know, with Marquette being so small, I mean, it's obviously they're going to be playing a lot of three-guard sets.
They may even go four-guard sets, to be honest.
Right.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see. There's a lot of players that you're not sure what their position is, which will be interesting. Mm-hmm. So Dwayne Wilson, I mean, we didn't see any of him last year. Again, mm-hmm. another highly regarded, well thought of. But does he play point guard? Does he play shooting guard? He certainly looked the two times I've seen him, once at the formerly known as Buzz's Barbecue. He seems to have bulked up a fair amount. I think even Paint Touches mentioned it. If they didn't, I'm again wildly unprepared. But he's added something like 13, 14 pounds of I would assume muscle. It better be muscle. To his frame. So the question is he going to play the one or the two? You know,
I would guess, because there are so many point guards, he would definitely split his time playing one and the two between, you know, depending on how much of a role Derek Wilson will play this year. As far as I would be stunned if he played 35 minutes a game last year.
Well, let's play the game. Does Derek Wilson start?
I would guess no.
I would guess no.
If based on what I've seen, and if Wojciechowski is definitely coming in here with a clean slate and everyone has to earn their spots, I would guess he would have a smaller role than last year. Not completely benched and never play, but I would guess guys like Carlino and Dwayne Wilson and Juwan Johnson might beat him
out for
minutes. And John Dawson, yes. Just a guess. You know, maybe he will prove us wrong again, and Wojciechowski will see everything that Buzz Williams saw in Derek Wilson and play him a ton, and we'll see how that goes.
Or maybe the new staff will teach Derek Wilson how to shoot his shot further
than 6 feet
out.
That's a thing we can't discount. If Derek Wilson shows up with a jump shot this fall, then I think he would be a great addition.
Right.
I think he'd play a lot. But if his jump shot is still the same as it was last year, based on the way this staff appears to stress the ability to shoot the ball, at least in some of the tweets the players are putting out and what the kind of indications in the way they're recruiting, if Derek Wilson has the same jump shot he had last year, I don't think he would have much of a role in the team's offense.
Right. Yeah. So and you would, you know, if he can't shoot, I have to think John Dawson and Matt Carlino have minutes ahead of him.
I think so too, and you know we'll see. Like Dwayne, that might push Dwayne a little bit more of the two, but again, you might be playing three or four guard sets this year between, you know, those two and Dawson, and we'll see how Cohen fits in. He'll be kind of a bigger guard. Mm-hmm. You know, Cohen's about 6'5". Yeah, so I mean, he'll be 3'4" really this year when he comes in, and then you know, Juan Anderson, who kind of moved to the perimeter last year, he'll be playing in the front court this year out of necessity. So, you know, it's definitely quite a puzzle that Wojciechowski has to put together this year as far as who's going to play where. But, you know, the team's going to be small, but at least he did add a couple nice pieces with Cohen and Carlino to come in and try to help out this coming year. So, maybe this is a topic for another day, but who knows what the starting lineup
is. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we know Steve Taylor Jr. is going to start. I mean, he's going to have to.
Yeah, that's actually the question I was going to ask you. If you were to pick one or two guys who you are 100% sure are going to start this year, who would you say?
Steve Taylor Jr. and Deontay Burton.
Those are the only two guys I could say with 100% certainty that I think are going to start.
I agree. If we're talking Big East, I do think Luke Fisher is then the third.
Right, yeah. I guess I was talking more about the first semester. Luke Fisher is the lock among locks to start this year. But, as far as the backcourt, whether it's Dwayne Wilson, Derek Wilson, John Dawson, Todd Mayo, Carlino, Cohen, Juwan Johnson, I can't pick a favorite among those guys to start.
Right. Sure. I don't think there's any way. I'm sure he's got plenty of talent, but I don't think there's any way Sandy Cohen is gonna start as a freshman.
Yeah, I'd be surprised by that too. But if he can shoot the ball, maybe he will find a way into the rotation.
Right.
But yeah, I'd be surprised if he started.
Yeah, no. I really think, you know, gun to my head, I think it's Steve Taylor Jr., Deontay Burton, Juwan Johnson, Matt Carlino, and probably Mayo.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can't decide. I haven't seen enough of Dwayne Wilson or Juwan Johnson to say one or the other is going to to start over the other.
Mm. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
That is something maybe we'll see more of as when practices begin or whatever. We may not have any idea until that Wisconsin-Lutheran game tips off as far as what the starting lineup is going to look like. But, yeah, obviously it'll be a thin roster this year because so many guys that were committed have gone to other places. A couple of them went to Virginia Tech and, you know, some other guys have gone elsewhere. But I will say this, but Wojciechowski is doing a very good job recruiting for the future. He's brought in a couple guys, as we kind of shift gears and talk a little bit of recruiting here. He's brought in a couple guys who are transferring in, who have to sit out this year, but I think will be nice additions for the future. First one I do want to mention, of course, is Gabe Levin, who is transferring in from Loyola Marymount. And but he's a guy who's listed at 6'7", 230, so looks like a front court player, but apparently he says he's going to play the perimeter more. But, I mean, he's a guy who averaged, what was like, 11-8 in his freshman year at Loyola, so looks like to be a really nice player. He'll have 3 years of eligibility left, so I think this is a really important addition.
I think it's a depth play. Don't know, again, I haven't seen nearly enough, but he strikes me as the kind of player that'll consistently get you 15, 20 minutes off the bench. I don't know that he's necessarily the future, but we'll see, depending on what happens in other recruiting opportunities.
Yeah. Now other guys that this is, you know, Wojciechowski doing a great job in-state. He kept Nick Niskowiak, who was a 2015 guard, who was committed under Buzz, decommitted after Buzz left, and then recommitted to Wojciechowski. He is still on board for 2015. He recently got a commitment from a big man,
right.
Matt Helt, who is another Wisconsin kid. Looks to be a little raw, a little thin, but still a big man, 6'10 kid with a nice shooting touch.
He's got really good feet. If you watch some of the videos of him, he's got post moves. He's got a drop step, and is he only a sophomore or is he a junior?
Matt Helt. No, he's a 2015 kid, so he's in Niskowiak's
right.
class.
Okay, right. So
he'll be a senior in high school this fall.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, and then the other one coming in, which is exciting, which people are buzzing about, is he's transferred, so he'll be on the roster this year, but he can't play until next year. And that's Wally Ellenson, who is a guard who's transferring in from Minnesota. He'll have 2 years of eligibility left. Exciting for the track team because he's Olympic talent, really. He has national championship talent and may has aspirations to go to the Olympics in the high jump.
Well, somebody's going to have a challenge. Perhaps Deontay Burden's going to be challenged in the dunk contest come March Midnight Madness.
Wally is the early favorite in Vegas to win the dunk contest at Midnight Madness, so we'll see how he does there. But, of course, the real reason, I mean, if you follow recruiting at all, you recognize the last name, Ellenson. His younger brother, Henry, is one of the top recruits in the nation. He's out of Rice Lake, Wisconsin, which is really pretty close to Minneapolis, actually. It's way over on that side of the state. But Henry Ellenson is – ESPN has him as the number 5 kid in the country. Rivals has him in the top 20. And, you know, he's been kind of rumored to be, you know, highly in the mix at Wisconsin. A lot of blue bloods like Carolina and Duke are after him. And with Wally transferring in, they've said they'd like to play together. Now, this is – far from a done deal, but Henry is, you know, suddenly maybe a favorite to, you know, or Marquette, I should say, is a favorite to get Henry Ellenson, which would be a huge, huge boost to Wojciechowski.
Well, I would like to point out not only is Wally Ellenson on the team, who obviously Henry is familiar with, but Nick Niskowiak is a teammate of his, I believe, on their AAU team.
Correct. Yeah, and Niskowiak is working pretty hard to get Ellenson, and he was, you know, even before Wally committed. So he's got two guys who are either on the roster or committed to Marquette at the moment who are really, you know, strongly pushing him. Now, of course, there are other, you know, top recruits who are begging him to go elsewhere, but he has two really guys who are really close to him trying to get him to Marquette. So I think as far as the big name that Marquette is chasing in the 2015 class, it has seemed to have shifted away a little bit from Diamond Stone, who we've talked about several times. Not to say Marquette still isn't chasing Diamond Stone. I'm sure they're recruiting him hard.
Well, and
still,
it's not an either-or situation. In a dream world, you get both.
Yeah. Oh, that would be ideal, because Marquette does have two scholarships available for next year, and even if they only had one, they would still be recruiting both of them. But, yeah, I think it seems like it is much more likely that Marquette gets Ellenson than Stone.
Right. Well, and Wojciechowski has a previous relationship with Ellenson from being on Duke's staff, and Duke was going after Ellenson pretty hard. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, so Wojciechowski is kind of going head-to-head with his mentor there. That'll be interesting to see how that works out, and he's got the relationship, so... It's by no imagination a quote-unquote done deal. We know all about those.
That's a thing still.
But it certainly is very positive that Wojciechowski is coming in and kind of pulling the pieces together and he's got a national footprint for recruiting. So, it's not like, and I've heard some people talk, well, why are we only recruiting Wisconsin? Why aren't we recruiting everywhere else? Well, let's be honest, Wisconsin, for whatever reason, in the next two recruiting classes, just has some phenomenal basketball talent.
Yeah, if you don't have to leave the
why?
State, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, as I said earlier, Wojciechowski has done such a great job in-state. If you recap it, he kept the only Wisconsin commit that Buzz had in Cohen, and it's for 2014. He kept Niskoviak. He got Helt. He got Ellenson, Wally Ellenson, who is technically an in-state because that's where he's from, is Rice Lake, even though he was at University of Minnesota. And he kept Phil Florey, for what it's worth, in the 2017 class. I know that's looking way down the road, but Florey is still verbally committed. That's a guard who, again, way down the road, but still verbally committed. And he's in great position with Ellenson. Not out of the running on Diamond Stone, but, I would not be shocked if, Diamond Stone named a top five this week and Marquette was not on it, just because I think he is so far into the Blue Bloods right now. I think that's where he's going, especially because he talks a lot about going somewhere with Malik Newman, who is the top guard in the 2015 class. Again, that's not necessarily a definite either, but I think it seems to be Stone is a little more leaning towards a Blue Blood, whereas there are, the tea leaves kind of point to Henry Ellenson at least strongly considering Marquette. The 24/7 does those crystal ball predictions, and after Wally committed to Marquette, Marquette had a dramatic shift and suddenly became the favorite, or at least like a dead heat with Wisconsin to get Henry. So there seems to be a good indication that he could get Henry Ellenson, and so you want to get Marquette fans fired up. Write an article that disparages the team. And Myron Metcalf earlier in the summer wrote an article saying Marquette is a bad job, and one of his reasons was most in-state commits would choose Wisconsin. Well,
yeah.
So far.
How's that working
so
out for
far,
you there,
Wojciechowski's, Myron? Yeah, Wojciechowski's done pretty well. I mean, there was Brevin Pritzel. He's a guard. He's an in-state guy who picked Wisconsin. But so far, Wojciechowski has gotten Niskoviak to stay, and he's gotten Helt. And he's gotten, like I said, Wally Ellenson, who was at Minnesota, but now he at least is, at very worst, is in a dead heat with Wisconsin for Henry Ellenson.
Right, right. Yeah, so, let's not give that article any credibility whatsoever, because we also apparently play in the U.S. Cellular Arena.
It was just something to get people to click and argue. You don't write an article about that unless you want to upset people. So that's
right,
all it
exactly.
Was.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, whether this year will be good or not, there is enough evidence to say that future years look promising. Now, this year will tell us to a certain extent whether Wojciechowski can coach, but it certainly seems like he can recruit, which was, to a certain extent, if I'm being honest, my bigger concern than the coaching aspect.
Right, yeah, because the concern was, he did a great job recruiting at Duke, but a lot of guys can do a great job recruiting
right.
at Duke, you'd think. But what I did say at the time, though, in defense of that, when you're at Duke, you're also still going head to head with Kentucky and Kansas and Michigan State and North Carolina, and so it's not like he was just automatically getting guys. But there's no denying that having the Duke name behind you, definitely attracts more kids' attention. So, without that Duke name, would he still be able to get top guys? And he's definitely doing a great job in-state. I guess we're going to see, when he lands his first big national recruit. And there are guys he's chasing. There are some guys he's been connected to. Just there are a couple kids from Massachusetts, Aaron Falzon and Josh Serma, who are both a couple of big guys. They're teammates, actually, at a school over there in Massachusetts. And there's a kid, he's from Canada, actually, but he goes to Huntington Prep in Wisconsin, called, his name's, they call him Techie, but his name's Montaigne Gil Caesar. He actually might reclassify because his coach, Rob, he just left Huntington Prep to be an assistant at Missouri. And so Techie might actually reclassify to 2014 and just leave high school now and enroll in Missouri. But he might stay in high school another year, which is, he's currently a 2015 recruit. But Marquette was on him, and they were in pretty good position with him before his high school coach left. So those are just some names that they're chasing, and there are plenty of others out there that Marquette is involved with, and so there are a couple more guys in-state that they're recruiting. And so I think the effort and really so far the results on recruiting have been very positive.
Well, again, like I said, just to reiterate, you know, the players that Wojciechowski is getting from Wisconsin are national recruits. So just because they happen to be from in-state doesn't mean anything. They're going to recruit at a national level. There's a lot of talent in Wisconsin. They'll get some other players, you know, and you know, let's say Ellenson and Diamond Stone work out. There's plenty of other players there on. It's not a crisis. We'd want it, but we want those guys, but it's not necessarily a crisis if we don't get them. So it's been.
Yeah, I think getting help is great because it's a little insurance if you don't get Ellenson or Stone, because you know that's what I said the day Helt committed was, all right, Marquette at least has one big man coming in next year, and then a few days later Wally Ellenson transferred, and so now people are all really excited about possibly Henry, and remains to be seen if he's going to commit. And you know, again, we could post this podcast and he could commit somewhere, whether it's Marquette or somewhere else. But I think that's really kind of the big recruiting story Marquette fans are following right now, is to see what Henry Ellenson's going to do. I don't think a decision is imminent. He hasn't even trimmed his list. I mean, he hasn't named like a top five or anything. But I, you know, all the indications are that Marquette is right there. If he were to name a top five, Marquette would be right there with Wisconsin and North Carolina.
Right. And for the fans out there, I would not hold my breath, because it seems all the news seems to indicate that he's kind of enjoying the process and he wants to to, you know, kind of do all his due diligence. So I don't think we're going to hear anything until after this season. So, you know, let's not.
I'm kind of really of the opinion, if you're like a top, you know, top 50 recruit, who, you know, the kind of guy who can really go absolutely anywhere he wants, what's the rush? Why not just, you know, take all your visits and, you know, get a couple free trips and be toured around campuses and treated like a king for a weekend and just enjoy everything and just, you know, get as much information as you possibly can and then make your decision. Now, you know, and you know, if it's your dream school, it's your dream school and that's where you want to go. I guess in a way I do kind of get the idea that, you know, if you want to commit early and then start convincing other guys to come with you, I get that a little bit. I mean, I guess that's kind of what Niskoviak's done. He's committed early. He's reserved his spot. And, that's what's right for him. But, for top guys, I would say, dude, enjoy the process. Take your visits.
Well, I get why people commit early, or why people used to commit early. When they would commit, then that would kind of shut off all the other schools calling them, and you could kind of get back to being a normal human being. But I think now there's almost no class left in recruiting, and it doesn't matter if you've committed and sworn a blood oath to go to a particular school. There will be coaches calling and texting and contacting you. So there's really no benefit to committing early, like you said, unless there's some sort of, well, I'm going to commit and get others to join kind of thing going, because, you know, it's a real rat race, and you might as well get some of the benefits if you're going to have all the downside.
Yeah. Yeah, the calls only stop really when you sign that letter of intent.
Right. And theoretically, even then, they're, hey.
Yeah, though they're always back channels and say, hey, you know, just in case, just want to let you know I'm still here.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, again, I think overall, Phil, I think we haven't played a game, but certainly there's reason for optimism and reasons to be excited about the Steve Wojciechowski era at Marquette based on what he's done with the roster, the effort he's putting forth in recruiting. He's definitely been, I think, very engaged with the fan base and with Marquette's history. He's definitely done everything he can to learn about the history and reach out to former players, not just guys like Travis Diener, but, you know, he had a lot of former players go to that barbecue earlier this summer.
There was like 42
and,
of them there.
So I think, certainly reason to be excited and be happy that Wojciechowski is here, and he's giving it absolutely everything he can. And I think, you know, even if the 2014-15 campaign does not have a lot of wins, I think there are more wins in the years to come based on the job.
Well, I would point out that at the same time in the preview, you know, at the same time that Buzz Williams, you know, in terms of where Buzz Williams was in his tenure at Marquette, if you compare, there's a lot more reason for optimism under Wojciechowski than there was at under Buzz, just simply because Buzz was a pretty, you know, pretty significant unknown, and the roster was kind of under some limbo for the future years. Yeah, there was a lot of talent coming back in the Big Three, but you know, it certainly seems like where we are now is better off than where we were when Buzz came in, and that turned out okay. So if Wojciechowski can coach, yeah, we'll be okay.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, coaching-wise, right, we're better off now. As far as roster-wise, we're not, because Buzz took over at the time what at the time looked like a Final Four caliber team.
Yeah, with the existing talent. So Wojciechowski doesn't have the same existing talent, but Wojciechowski also seems to be able to recruit, you know, mm-hmm, so he's at least as good, if not better, than where Buzz was from a recruiting standpoint when Buzz took over. But we're parsing hairs at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we want to get into Buzz at all with people writing articles, or are we just going to let it go and just focus on the Wojo era?
You know what? The articles suck. Buzz Williams is a bit of a fruitcake. and the media, he's got his mouthpiece media who are going to write articles that not a single one has explained why he left for Virginia Tech, and that's because everyone secretly knows why he left for Virginia Tech, and you can't explain it away. You know, he simply had worn out his welcome at Marquette, and he's just a weird dude. So he went to Virginia Tech where he could just kind of be in control of his own deal, and that's the long and the short of it. Okay, thanks. Great. Yeah. Good talk. Let's move on.
Yeah, I was debating whether or not to even touch on it as we wrapped up the podcast, because I know when any time any national writer posts anything positive about Marquette, a lot of fans get all upset about it and tear the article apart and whatnot. And I personally have just gotten to the point of accepting that the only people who dislike Buzz are the people he's left behind. Right. So at Marquette and University of New Orleans, and everyone else loves Buzz. And, you know, I feel pretty good that in 2 or 3 years, Virginia Tech fans will join us in our camp,
right,
in their opinion of Buzz Williams. But, you know, whatever. People are going to write great things about Buzz. Get used to it and just hope Wojciechowski outdoes him wins and losses wise. And I think maybe he will over the long run.
I mean, let's you know, keep in mind that Buzz Williams had his choice and went to Virginia Tech, the cesspool of ACC basketball. So, I mean, his shtick is going to wear out if he's not successful. And you know, the bottom line with Buzz is his weirdness is awesome if it's for your team. If he has left your team or he is against your team, his weirdness is pretty grating. So, you know, whatever.
I am curious about that. I'm curious about that because obviously with national programs like Duke, Syracuse, and North Carolina, if he starts rubbing those fans the wrong way, if Buzz will be looked at differently in the national media than he was when he was in the Big East, I doubt it. But, you know, like you said, he's got his buddies in the media and they'll write whatever. But I think as a fan base, we just need to move on and enjoy the Wojo era and just let the cards
right
fall.
Right. Well, I get the angst because, I mean, Buzz admittedly took a couple of pot shots at Marquette and the Big East on his way out of town, which were unnecessary. But whatever. I mean, let's just, as a fan base, agree to get over it and move on. Like, there's nothing to see here. Let's just get enthusiastic about what we have, not what we used to have.
Yeah, and I think what we have can be very good. As I said earlier, I don't expect a lot of wins this coming year just because of the thin roster, but I think Wojciechowski has set himself up for a lot of success starting in the 2015-16
season. Absolutely.
So that's kind of what I think, and that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. But what are you looking forward to? We kind of want to know. We're going to do another podcast here probably in a few weeks, and we did this once before, and it actually went over pretty well. So we're going to do scrambled questions again, Phil.
I'm excited. So any and all questions, we would prefer Marquette-related, and we would prefer quote-unquote professional questions. Anything goes, and then we'll just choose to select the ones we actually want to answer.
Yeah, if you have any questions about the roster, about the future, about Wojo, and yes, if you want to rant about Buzz, I suppose you could. But let's kind of keep it about the current team.
Yeah, if we could keep it to a Baker's dozen Buzz questions, that would be great.
Yeah, you could, again, if you want to contact us, you can do it a few ways. We're both on Twitter individually. I'm JoeMcCann3. Phil is MOOF23, or you could tweet at the Crack Sidewalks Twitter handle as well with your questions. Or, you know, we have a Facebook page. There's a Scrambled Eggs page there. We post all the podcasts there. And, of course, you could also comment on the Cracked Sidewalks site itself, maybe if you have questions for a future podcast.
Right. And, so, and remember to use the hashtag, because everyone has to have a hashtag. Hashtag so cool. scrambled question.
All right, so we'll look forward to that. Again, anything in closing remarks, Phil, this off-season
no,
podcast?
I think we shook off the rust pretty well.
I think we got through it with relatively, you know, minimal mistakes. If we had a guy correcting our mistakes, he may need about 5 or 10 minutes here to get through them. But I think we got through it with, you know, limited damage, and we'll look forward to doing the next
one. Just go ahead and blow up our Twitter with all the things we got wrong, and we'll move on and pretend it never happened.
All right, until the next podcast, everyone, seashells and balloons.
What the hell?